Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the third and last of our monthly podcast, Words Out Loud. I'm Jason Narung, and with me, Kirsten McDermott.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I am well, thank you, Kirsten. And you?
I'm okay. I'm a bit tired, but otherwise I'm okay.
Yes, there's a lot of that tiredness going around.
There is.
Yes, well, I blame the winter. I blame
just
the cold.
The
oh, yes. What else could it possibly be?
good evening, everybody. Thank you for listening to what is going to be the last of our online digital versions of Words Out Loud.
Yes, brought to you by the loving embrace of COVID-19.
We do hope to be back in person in July. We're not 100% guaranteed on that yet. There's still some ducks to line up, but we'll let you know. And in any case, this is the last of these little trio. It's a very nice number to finish on.
Yes, but of course, some trios do come in fours, but we'll be talking about that later. We have a small but tasty selection for listeners tonight. And again, we're very thankful to the people who have made time to send us some work for these, I guess, ersatz, Words Out Louds. But we really do appreciate it, and we've enjoyed it immensely. And we know our people who have tuned in to listen to them have also left some lovely feedback. So thank you again. And tonight, people have pulled out a few stops.
They have. It's a very interesting, intimate lineup.
It is indeed. And there's a little bit of extra stuff going on in some of these yarns tonight. Oh, it's very exciting. I'm excited. Yeah. McDermott, you can't see her big smile, but I can see it. She's excited.
I am about as excited as I generally get these days, yes.
Yeah. Look what you've done. You put a smile on the dial. Thank you very much, everybody.
So, Jason, who is kicking us off tonight?
Kicking off tonight, funnily enough, with the rule of threes that don't really apply. a wonderful regular contributor, Megan J. Riedel, has sent in three poems tonight. Circuit Work, Deluge, and Never Mind the Rain. The last two in particular, of course, tapping in to our theme of Here Comes the Rain Again.
Themes are not compulsory.
But a couple of people had run with them tonight, and as always, that makes us warm inside. Take it away, Megan.
Focus on my heart and the sound of my pounding feet, walking the well-trodden paths, just circuit work, making concentric circles out from my street, desire lines cutting across the park. I never want to take the long way back, tiny pebbles in my shoe, uncomfortable, like the cold range, cool change, raising goose pimples on my skin. I dig in the familiar self-talk, as comfortable as the daily walk, thoughts like wet hair running through my fingers. I feel unprepared, the tears linger in the corner of my eyes until caught by the water in the sky. Deluge. And then the heavens opened, but it was too late to run for home, chin held high to wash away my piteous tears. Drenched in despair, the droplets pound my skin. I am being held for the first time. It felt like being cleansed. It felt like being holy. Baptize me in the deluge. Let me never be alone again. Never mind the rain. The sun danced at our backs, dark clouds gathering between the twin sentinels, a vivid spectrum making a bridge between Buninyong and Warrenheap. And we talked of meaningless rainbows when joy is dancing through the storm, the settling light falling on your face, more precious than any pot of gold. When we reached one summit, we felt so high, we can walk on colours across the sky to conquer the other peak together. And never mind the rain.
Wow, that was a lovely set, wasn't it? Some nice effects on that first piece as well, but what a great way to start the June evening. And if you enjoyed Megan's work, why don't you check out Hysterica, which is a performance coming up of 8 monologues. Megan's done one of them and directed 2 of them. I think I've got that right. That's coming up in Warren Ponds in August, and we'll put some details in the show notes for that. Now, it's my pleasure to read a poem by Rhonda Pahulke. She has sent us a photograph to go with it as well, which actually has the words on it. So, again, see the show notes for that. But here is City Lights by Rhonda Pahulke. The night's alight with neon shine, the moon's aglow, and stars are coming one by one. Trees are pretty in their coats of shiny green as high-beam traffic flows. Magic town, full of the night, let the gentle rain fall and know the world is going to be all right.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Rhonda, for that lovely, uplifting poem. I think we need more of those these days. Our next poet is definitely a newcomer to Words Out Loud, and maybe this might be one of his first poems that he's read aloud anywhere. So if that's the case, it's quite the honour. This is Pierre Nuns, who has included a picture of himself with his cat with the poem that we will be putting in the show notes. And Pierre says, "After a long time battling imposter syndrome, I felt it was time to raise my hand and be heard." Welcome, Pierre. We are all familiar with imposter syndrome. There are monthly meetings with donuts and coffee. We'll let you know. Pierre's composition is called Wordsmith and Craven. Enjoy.
Wordsmith and Craven. Oh, to scribe as William doth, with quill and word of wit. Instead, I sit at keyboard harsh and write like such wan twit. Young Shakespeare, he knew language, such flair for stabbing puns. As Pierre, I am indeed bereft, glumly, I am Nuns. O sadness bested, woe bequested, O shamed poor author marred, whither yon wordsmith? I doth wither in shadow of great bard. Indeed, do laugh at such words base, their youth and rawness rude, for while Bill maketh soft hearts melt, my strain to woo rings crude. So on I toil in his great wake, to battle verse and time, while his gilt words show cadence true, mine doth rarely rhyme. Toe to toe they cannot fight, their volumes converse deemed, when seamed against this daunting foe, my verses are but creamed. And so it seems I may never hold candle to prose so bright. Old William's words forever shine. Mine beg for mere daylight.
Oh, what a lovely reading voice. And thank you very much, Pierre, for sharing that with us. Yeah, really appreciate that. Coming up next, we have Rebecca Fletcher, and she's pulled out a few extra effects for her piece called Glass Houses. And she's even co-opted Cameron Fletcher to lend a hand, or a voice, more correctly. Here's Rebecca and Cameron.
Robert was getting concerned. He was floating in the ocean in a glass bottle as broad as his shoulders. Its neck accommodated his own, leaving his head poking out of the top. He was looking for his hat. His eyes squinted as he tried to focus on the far, far distance, where the sky and the water melted into each other, an endless blanket of variegated blue.
Well, not much for it.
Oh, is someone else there?
Yes, hello. I thought I was all alone out here.
Oh no, there are some others around. Because we're moving all the time, it's hard to make friends.
Of course.
Their bottles connected. I'm Jocelyn, by the way.
Robert. I hate to be a bother, but I seem to have lost my hat. Have you seen it?
What does it look like?
Why, have you seen a hat?
Oh, no, but this way if I see one, I'll know if it's yours or not.
Ah, well, never mind.
Actually, I was wondering if maybe you could help me with something as well.
Of course.
My ankle is terribly itchy, and I can't reach it. Do you think you could... Her voice trailed off hopefully, and only partly because they were now beginning to drift away from one another.
I'm so sorry, but I don't think that I could reach.
Oh, how annoying. That's a problem I'm having as well. I think it's time for us to move on, sorry. I'll keep looking for your hat.
Good luck with your ankle.
The waves slowly jostled them away from one another. Robert gently bobbed through the ocean, hatless and haunted by his conversation with Jocelyn. He was just working himself into a nice lather of self-loathing when he saw another bottle moving towards him.
Hello.
Hello! Isn't this simply glorious weather?
Robert supposed that it was.
Absolutely glorious! It reminds me of the summer I spent in Argentina last year.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely stunning. The people there were so gorgeous. Everyone was. The women and the men.
It sounds lovely. Look, I hate to be forward, but I was wondering if you could help me with something.
The only thing more beautiful than the women...
and the men?
...was the weather!
The water between them began to shift, and seeing the bottle begin to drift away again, Robert took a deep breath in an attempt to regain his patience and try his luck. Jerked by the waves, Robert unfocused his mind and let his vision blur. As the water became a little choppier, it was almost relaxing to be rocked by it. He closed his eyes and let time pass.
Why, hello there.
What?
Sorry, I thought you were someone else.
You're expecting someone?
No, I just...
Look, all this is good and well, but I'm not sure how to feel about all this.
All of what?
What's the deal with these bottles? Why are we in the middle of the ocean?
Steady on, mate. Like, I don't know all about that. I was just wondering if you'd seen my hat.
We're in the middle of the ocean in bottles and you're looking for a hat.
Well, not just my hat. A hat. My hat. It was a good one too, with a nice fabric band around it.
If that's a metaphor, it's a pretty bloody poor one.
What?
A metaphor.
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes people just lose hats, you know.
You are an idiot. Nothing else was said as the bottle slowly drifted away from one another again.
Didn't need to be rude about it.
Carried by the waves, Robert noticed that the sun had moved in the sky. He wouldn't be able to find his hat at night. He stared down into the ocean.
Fancy meeting you here again.
Robert recognised Jocelyn's voice, causing him to smile. He hadn't thought much of her when they'd first met, but she was the nicest person he'd met so far out here.
Did you find your hat?
No, I didn't. How's the ankle?
Worse now. I can't believe I was complaining about it before. It's practically torture now.
They heard a splashing noise and tried to swivel around to see where it was coming from. There was nothing that could fall from anywhere to make a splash. What they weren't expecting to see was a man, stark naked, swimming freestyle through the ocean towards them.
You'd think he might have kept his clothes on.
That would make it harder to swim.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hardly appropriate, is it?
I wonder if we should ask him for help.
Well, if you want help from a naked man, be my guest.
No, I suppose you're right.
They bobbed in silence as he swam past them, continuing off into the distance.
Damn it.
What's that?
I didn't ask if you'd seen my hat.
Fabulous work, Rebecca and Cameron. It is good to see people being so adventurous with the acoustics as well as the prose. I had the honour of reading a version of that story some time ago, and it is delightful to hear an audio rendition, so thank you again. Next up, we have another Words Out Loud regular, Rhonda Kotzel, who is also on theme for this month with her poem, Here Comes the Rain Again.
Here comes the rain again, enamelling the view from my veranda, and looking across to the soft, grey cloud-crowned hills opposite, air and water curl and melt and merge, red, a crimson-tinged blush into orange, tangerine and marmalade, and yellow, sunflower and lemon cooling into green, emerald and cyan, blue, cornflower and darkening navy, indigo, plum and mulberry and violet, heliotrope and lilac, bursting out, a distillation of light through watery air, a prismatic incandescence, rainbow.
Oh, thanks very much for rising to the challenge, Rhonda, and nailing the theme again. Now, next up, my co-host is going to deliver a poem for us. This one was written back in 2018 when the theme was Stay Sharp. So here's Kirsten with her poem, Stay.
Stay sharp? No, oh no. But allow yourself to blunten, to soften, your edges shorn and hollowed by life, by love, by loss, by each breath you and the world draw together. Stay sharp. No. but like that massive, majestic limestone that limns the southern shore. Accept the pummeling waves. Let them leave their marks over and over and over, reshaping you, remaking you, changing your sheer, aloof and rocky self until you soften and sigh and scatter into sand, joining the rhythm of water, joining the dance of earth and moon to gravity's insistful chord. Stay, not sharp, but multitudinous, infinite, eternal. Stay soft, stay still, stay, stay.
That's a lovely poem, Kirsten. And if I remember, we were talking before, that was written on the night, hey?
It was. Penciled down very quickly in between other people's poems, and that one has actually stuck.
Yeah, nice. Took me back to the Great Ocean Road, you know.
I think it wasn't long after we took that last trip, actually, that I wrote that. So that's probably where the limestones came from.
Lovely. And, segueing into lovely, our last performer for the evening. Yes, it is a short one tonight, folks, but we think we've packed in a fair bit of good stuff. Our last performer tonight is Fraser Mackay. And again, he's value added with some wonderful backing music to accompany his work, Horses.
I never forget being born, the B-52's lumbering approach, the carbon arc lights glaring deep into my mother's womb, hurriedly wrapped in a prickly grey blanket, in turns bumped, jostled, squeezed. We taxied to the hangar, the great metal door swung open with a sharp crack, and the balmy night air of a new life caressed my little face. I never forget with my brother Eddie, riding the horses of our youth, at one with the power of the sun, a kinship kept at rein's length. I never forget the day Eddie left home, blood streaming down the old man's face, cursing Eddie all the way to the end of our street. Next thing, I was bussing down the east coast inside a fat, creaky whale. The hot summer wind leaked in through the cracks. The thoughts in my head did their creepy gymnastics. 3 days later, finished the pills and spilled out onto the tarmac at Central Station. I'm amazed now at what pages I landed on. Life was enemy drones coming over the hill. Scars appeared without reference. Renegade emotions, jerky staccato behaviours. I got older. I had willing ears. I made friends down one-way streets. I picked up the pen and found beauty in the world. Then one day, in the Alexandra Gardens, I met Rachel. I never forget weekends by the river, the sun glancing off her dazzling white skin. Her limbs were strong and lithe. She had a yen for jazz and country walks. We went dancing every Friday night. I allowed her to move fractionally closer. Rachel loved sitting on the bar of my bike, my arms around her as I steered the machine through the Micton three veg evening streets. I thought we were going to the stars, that Rachel and I. Then one foggy morn, the dance club was burnt to the ground. Sirens wailed, rushing uniforms and writhing hoses filled the road. It was the day before St. Valentine's. Like a mauling from a mass of priests, I never forget the gaggle of thesis-waving shrinks, splitting anal hairs over which box they shoved me in. As it turned out, I was leaping with my own tricks, usually in the afternoons, seeking clarity in thoughtless concentration, standing on one leg, looking due east in the pose of a pointer. I never forget the grief in Rachel's eye, years later on the Corso, where a chance meeting stopped us in mid-flight, and we just stared at each other until wordlessly she turned and fled. I never forget riding in the mountains, the horses of my youth, a freedom like forgiveness.
Well, that was grand, wasn't it? What a lovely way to finish.
That really was. Yeah. Thank you, Fraser. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Although I can't help thinking that anybody who heard me say that the poem was called Horses would have been maybe thinking of Darryl Braithwaite. So they were either wonderfully surprised or bitterly disappointed.
I had not thought of Darryl Braithwaite.
Too young. Too young. There we go. No, that was wonderful.
Too much good taste, I would say.
Oh, harsh. Nothing wrong with Darryl. Oh, yeah, that was what a great wrap-up for our little three-play of podcasts.
But not quite a three-play, Jason.
It is not indeed, because we have, can I say it, we have foreplay.
No, you can't
no,
say that.
No, I can't say that. Now, what we're going to do, folks, regardless of whether we do get face-to-face next month, July, we've joined in with the Melbourne Spoken Word Festival online to present, yes, a fourth podcast. Melbourne Spoken Word Festival has moved online due to the COVID-19 distancing restrictions. So they're doing a wonderful array of events online. Many of them would be video and things like that. So we're just doing our usual audio shtick, and we are again inviting poets and writers and raconteurs to join in the fun and help make the Melbourne Spoken Word Festival online a real hoot as we wait for programming to return to normal. So yes, there'll be details here soon about that.
Some kind of normal. Yes. We do hope to see you all in person very soon. But, yeah, please, if you've been inspired by any of the works you've heard tonight or in the previous two podcasts, we'd love to hear something from you for the Melbourne Spoken Word. Usual guidelines, less than 5 minutes, please. Other than that, there's an open theme, Jason. You don't have a theme.
There is no theme.
There's no theme. Oh, my
We're
God.
Just throwing it to the wind, seeing what the wind throws back.
He's starting to twitch. You can't see it, but he's twitching. So, yeah, send us your best work. That will be the last of these podcast adventures for the foreseeable future. We've had a great time doing them. We really appreciate all the work that people have trusted us with.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to them as well.
Yes. So we'll see you, hear you anon.
Anon.
Stay well.
Stay safe.